League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome in, everyone. And it was great to visit with Dan Duquette. Notably, he does believe that it will be Strasburg and Scherzer in the last two games here if, in fact, they go to 6-7. And that duo would be formidable.
Oh, yes, it would. Yes, it would.
So
but,
look out.
You know, Verlander Greinke is not anything to sneeze at either. It's pretty good too.
No, great matchups in a series with great pitching. All right,
great
Monday Night Football.
Pitching.
That's right. Monday Night Football has the Dolphins leading the Steelers 14-0. How did that happen?
And a record could be broken tonight because the Steelers are 6-0 against Fitzpatrick all time. It's looking like this could be a night that the records are broken.
Let Fitz magic unfold here. He can make that happen.
I'll tell you, wow, it's going to be interesting. It's only the second quarter, and they're up 14-0, blanking the Steelers.
And congrats to Bill Belichick with his big milestone, attaining win number 300. Very, very impressive. And he trails only Coach Halas and Coach Don Shula.
That is some company. That's some rarefied air.
It really is. It speaks to his longevity and his excellence, sustained excellence. An amazing record. I mean, it's always fun to contemplate, did Brady make him or did he make Brady? They're symbiotic. But look, Bill Walsh and Joe Montana were symbiotic as well. It's hard to win without a great quarterback. It's hard for a quarterback to win without a great coach.
You know who it also speaks to? Kind of the state of the Browns. Because that was the only team that fired Bill Belichick as their head coach. Oops.
And here they sit with a man named Freddie Kitchens. I mean, let me ask, Bill Belichick or Freddie Kitchens?
Let me think about that and I'll get back to you next segment.
And the Browns' first-year head coach suffering with more penalties than any team in the NFL. They have just been off to a miserable start after all the hype and all the hoopla coming into the year.
They lead the league in penalties, 70, 7-0, not 17, 7-0. I mean, they're self-imploding.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at some defenses that are on an historic track record. Well, it's the Patriots and the 49ers. We'll take a look at them when we return.
They just happen to be undefeated as well.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line is Eileen Folkenberg-Hull. She is the editor of the newly released site, AutomotiveMap.com. AutomotiveMap.com. Eileen, welcome onto the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and I've just pulled up the site, and it's fascinating to see all the content you've got there. Walk everybody through what they can find on AutomotiveMap.com.
Well, our goal with AutomotiveMap.com is to really reach the average consumer. So what we have are news, reviews, interviews, eye candy slideshows, things like that that the average consumer can take a look at and easily digest the information in and really get a good idea of the car industry, even if they're not experts or really truly passionate about the car industry, and they're just looking for some everyday information that can appeal to them and really inform their decision-making. That's what Automotive Map is here for.
Well, I can certainly use the guide and the how-to information that's here. Eye candy is sort of interesting to me. What will I find in eye candy?
So eye candy is really where we amp up the volume of the average automobile. If the consumer wants to see it from every angle, if they want to see the hottest vehicles that are out there, they can find it in the eye candy section. That's what we want to do. We're really bringing the true sexiness of automotive right to that eye candy section.
Okay, so I'm scrolling through. I'm a big Astros fan. I see Justin Verlander has quite a collection of cars. There's a great article here about the supercars in Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander's garage. What are some of the cars in there? What is Verlander doing? He's really collected quite a few.
Verlander is a huge car nut, and he has been for years, ever since he was with the Tigers and probably back to his childhood, right? I mean, car collecting is one of those things you learn as a kid, and you just eat up the cars. And when you have the income, you spend the money on the cars. And so to come up with that information, what we did is we just looked through his Instagram feed. I mean, he puts it out there for us, so we might as well go ahead and look at it. And he's got some great cars, everything from, you know, Ferraris and, you know, Mustangs. He's got the Eleanor Mustang replica from Gone in 60 Seconds. That is just a gorgeous, gorgeous replica vehicle. And, you know, there's just so much there to see. And you really see his passion come through. And his passion, which is no surprise to any baseball fans, is speed. I mean, he can pitch fast, but also he likes to drive fast. And one of the things that I kept coming back to was this Ferrari California T that his wife, Kay Upton, has custom made for herself. It's this beautiful white car with kind of a camel leather interior. It is just gorgeous. And it is on that list of all the things in his stable, you know, Lamborghinis, like I said, Mustangs, all of that is right in there. And really, go take a look at it. It is just a beautiful set of cars he's got.
All right. My apologies. I came to look at that car, but in it was Kate Upton. And I did take note. She looks great. The car looks great, too.
It is a side effect of viewing it. I mean, you unfortunately have to see the picture of Kate Upton as well. But it is a beautiful car. I mean, and it's not only beautiful to look at, it's beautiful to drive. And I can see why they have it in their garage.
All right, that's automotivemap.com. Is it true that around the office they call you Eileen the Dream?
You know, I have heard that rumor. One David Gow has been known to stop by the desk and call me that on occasion.
Well, I think it's because this website looks so great. Great eye candy, great reviews, great information. Go to automotivemap.com and you can see the great handiwork of Eileen Falkenberg-Hull. Eileen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, David. You guys have a great evening.
We'll talk soon. All right, I'm sold.
I love that eye candy section.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Beautiful cars, great things to see. And then seeing Justin Verlander in his collection, it's fun to see a player's passion off the field, and he clearly has one.
And it's nice, too, for women, I'm not going to lie, to have, you know, have some info before I'm going to go car shopping or something like that, so I'm more informed. You know, men like to take advantage of that kind of thing.
I understand how men are.
We're equipped now.
Okay.
We're equipped now. We're ready.
All right, let's shift back to the NFL. An amazing stat.
Are there any storylines?
There are some storylines, some big ones. It's an amazing stat that there are four teams in the NFL right now, and if you combine the records, 29 wins and 2 losses.
Those are the top four teams.
Boy, those four teams are set apart. Of course, they are the Patriots in the American Conference, and you've got the 49ers, Packers, and the Saints in the NFC.
Very NFC heavy. I mean, there's no one close in the AFC. That's pretty astounding.
Now, the Chiefs have taken a step back in large part due to injuries and, frankly, a lack of defense. They may be soft. Texans, for a window, were seemingly coming up. We even had the Colts, and, of course, the Colts beat the Texans. But, gosh, the Colts barely got the win yesterday. So, really, yeah, the dominance seems to be in the NFC. But one of the amazing things is that in this offense-driven league, that there are a couple of defenses here who are setting records. I mean, the 49ers and the Patriots are in historic moment here now in the NFL with their defenses.
Well, and, you know, at this point, too, in talking about the Patriots, their defense looks amazing, as does San Francisco's. New England hasn't played anybody. They played one team with a winning record.
Right.
So their schedule's about to get tougher. So I think that defense is going to be tested a bit. However, they still look formidable and fantastic, and San Francisco does too. I mean, you've got DeForest Buckner, you've got Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa had the game of his life on Sunday. I mean, and Kyle Shanahan was brilliant in his play calling. He had Ron Rivera and the Panthers on their booty. It was a shellacking.
Well, the thing I just wanted to point out about this Patriots defense that I find so impressive, they've given up only 7.6 points per game. And that's historic low. Yeah. I mean, look, we all know about the 85 Bears. They give you up 13 points per game. The 2000 Ravens were impressive. They give up 11 points per game. The 2002 Bucks, it's funny, they didn't stand out to me as one of these historic defenses, but they only gave up 8.75 per game. So,
wow.
The Patriots at 7.6 are impressive. 49ers standing at 11 points per game so far this year. Still early.
And they've played people, though. I mean, you know, New England, I think what's going to be telling is the second half of the season for New England as their competition does step up. I mean, They're in a very favorable conference.
Okay, 49ers with a great big win over Carolina. You mentioned it. 51-13 the final, and Nick Bosa has arrived. That guy looks like a dominant force, only a rookie. Yesterday he had 3 sacks, 4 tackles, a pick. He got the pick and another pass defensed. He is really looking like he was worthy of the second overall pick out of Ohio State.
I mean, he really is. And, you know, this is a cool stat. I love this. I've never seen it before. Bosa has the highest disruption rate among defensive ends in the league at 23.2%.
Yeah, that's a new stat to
me
as well.
That's a quarter of the game, a quarter of the plays he's disrupting.
Amazing.
That's really astounding. I mean, wow. And then, you know, don't overlook Tevin Coleman yesterday with 4 touchdowns. I mean, wow.
And Jimmy G.
They're rolling.
Jimmy G seems to be getting more productive. I mean, look, earlier in the season, it was all about the 49ers defense and Garoppolo, sort of the game manager. Yesterday, he was efficient. He was 18 for 22 and 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. But, of course, the Panthers are a pretty good defense.
They are a good defense. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I think you said it nicely. He is coming along. He's 14-2 as a starter. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's best asset is that he is a really good leader. I mean, he's great. He was plugged into the Patriot system beautifully. He's working well with Kyle Shanahan, but his best trait is just being a leader on the field and off the field. It's helping him.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at who might get traded. There is a trade deadline. It is tomorrow, Tuesday, 4:30. NFL up against it, and there are some players who are traded today already, like Leonard Williams, but there are others on the block. When we return, we'll take a look at the trade winds blowing in the NFL here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Traco Titan wiper blades. They even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right. We've been waiting for this moment. It's the NFL trading deadline. It's tomorrow at 4:30.
Kind of quiet right now.
Well, there have already been some interesting trades. I found the Leonard Williams trade from the Jets to the Giants interesting for several reasons. One is you don't see the Jets and the Giants making trades very often.
No.
If ever, right? But also, let's look at that deal. I mean, Leonard Williams was at one point going to be one of the standout linemen. He was the number 6 overall pick in the 2015 draft, and some people thought he should have gone higher than number 6 overall. He's now coming up at the end of his rookie deal, and the Jets didn't think they would be able to keep him, so they traded him. They got a 3rd-round pick in 2020 and a 5th-rounder in 2021. That 2021 pick could become a 4th-rounder. But the issue for the Giants that strikes me twofold. One is Williams will be a free agent at the end of this year, so they're up against it. They've got to sign him, to keep him. They're giving up draft capital, and they've got to keep him. And then I guess the second thing that surprises me is I didn't think of the Giants as buyers. I mean, here the Jets are selling because they're going nowhere. The Giants are going nowhere, by the way, as well.
And the Jets are paying part of his salary, too, the remaining contract, right?
That's right. So I just was a little surprised that the Giants would be the acquiring party for Leonard Williams. Now, part of it is he's still young, so the Giants can argue, no, we're going to sign him for a multi-year deal, and he'll be part of our long-term future. But they've got to sign him, and that's no sure thing, particularly in a league where players are able to work their way out of teams.
Well, they must be feeling good about Danny Dimes, the new era that's being rushed in.
Yeah, they're going to have to get him some O-line help as well.
So, but that's not the only Williams that's being talked about, right?
Well, you've got another one for me?
I think Trent Williams. Oh, of Washington course. Is finally open.
Trent Williams.
For business.
Should have been traded long ago.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
But it does now seem that the Redskins are willing to trade him. Rumors are that they are asking for a first-round pick. I don't know that he's worth that at his age and at the price tag he's going to command. But when healthy, when available, this is a great left tackle to anchor your line.
You know who needs them.
Well, there are a lot of teams that need him. Who do you want?
Cleveland Browns.
Oh, the Browns desperately need him.
Their left tackle spot is really tough. So, and I don't think it's any accident that Baker Mayfield leads the league, tied with Jameis Winston in interceptions.
Yeah, no, the Browns would be a great landing spot for him. They've got the draft capital to spend. I think that's a great fit. I mean, that's probably where he should go. Now, he is rumored to go a number of different places because there are so many teams that would love to pick him up. One of the rumors was the Patriots. I mean, they've got some weakness on their offensive line. They've shored up their receiver position. But I really think they could use some O-line help as well. I think they're on the short list of teams. I mean,
why are you helping the Patriots?
I'm not going to help them. One team that
they're
needs...
They're rolling.
The Browns certainly do need that help.
Yeah, they do at 2-5. They okay. sure do.
There's some other trades that have not... Well, there have been... Well, Kenyon Drake of the Dolphins has just been traded to the Cardinals, and they needed that.
They did. Ooh.
The cupboard was empty there. They had a lot of injuries, so they bring in Kenyon Drake. He's a contributor. He's not a dominating back, but a nice addition for the Cardinals.
And Miami gets some more draft picks, a 2020 sixth-round pick that can become a fifth-round pick. So they're going to have a Raider type of draft this year. They're really collecting.
Yeah, they really are.
And they need to.
Fun to see. O.J. Howard, rumored to be on the block. I mean, he's run his course with the Bucs.
He's been rumored. I'm surprised he's still around.
Well, I'm surprised. This is a guy who at one point was considered a sure thing prospect for the Bucs. I mean, he was drafted high, I think 19 overall. He's had a couple of years where he hasn't really been productive. Bruce Arians isn't using him much. I think the Bucs could probably pick up a late first, early second for him and probably feel good doing that deal.
Yeah. Be nice. And there's plenty of teams that need tight ends. Plenty.
Other rumors out there, the Bengals, A.J. Green. Bengals are sellers, and A.J. Green's a big-time talent.
And he has not been on the field this year, to be fair. But he got hurt in the preseason. And, yeah, I'm surprised he's still around. Do you think the Bengals will deal him?
I think they will deal him. I think...
They are winless this season.
Someone like the Packers ought to go pick him up. And the Packers don't have great receivers. Mm-hmm. Add A.J. Mm-hmm. Green to that mix. Who knows what Aaron Rodgers would do with him.
A.J. Green in the green would look pretty nice.
He would look good. And then you've got their version of triplets, right? You'd have Rodgers, and Aaron Jones is so good now out of the backfield. Both, well, he's multidimensional. He can run and catch the ball well. Add A.J. Green to that mix, and they're on their way. Okay, other rumors. Well, there's another tight end, Tyler Eifert, and he's quality. Atlanta's Vic
Beasley.
He's out of Bengals
too, yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. There were rumors that Gerald McCoy, the longstanding great defensive tackle who is wallowing in nothingness with his current team, would be traded, and the Cowboys were interested. That he was – Gerald McCoy might have been one of their top interests. Leonard Williams was on their short list, and then, of course, the Cowboys picked up Michael Bennett. I think Michael Bennett is a good pickup for the Cowboys, but those other names were pretty intriguing.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out here at the trade deadline. Today was quiet. Ready for a busy day tomorrow.
Quiet, but – I think before tomorrow's done, we'll hear of three or four other quality names on the trade block.
Do you think the Texans are going to do anything now that they've lost J.J. Watt for the season with the torn pec? Are they going to replace that DE position for them?
Just hard to know what the Texans have to offer. I mean, obviously, they've used up most of their draft capital in the Laremy Tunsil trade.
They do have a lot of cap room, though. They've had it all year.
They had the cap room. So if somebody had a high-priced player, they just wanted to unload a big salary, yeah, I guess there might be a deal to be had. Goodness, the Texans yesterday had such a great win, a Deshaun Watson win.
And, you were there.
And it, yeah, I was there. It would have felt so good for the Texans coming out of a tough battle against a Raiders team that I think has been somewhat overlooked, but has played some quality games mm-hmm. against some quality opponents. Of course, they've been on the road forever, which has not been easy
oh,
for that
gosh.
Team.
Oh, my gosh, London and everything.
And then they came down to Houston. They were leading most of the game. Deshaun Watson was extraordinary. We'll hear from John Gruden later about how Deshaun Watson is the Michael Jordan of our team here in Houston. And Watson was extraordinary. The team would have come out just feeling 10 feet tall, and then they got the bad news from J.J. Watt announcing that he's likely done for the year.
Does it seem to you, and this is three of the last four seasons, that Watt will end the season on the IR? I mean, it was a back issue, a leg issue, and now a pec issue. Does it seem like the Texans are unusually prone to injuries, or is just this part of the game and it just seems like it because it's local here? I don't know. It just they don't have a secondary. Every time we turn around, Will Fuller is on the IR. What is going on?
Well, I thought you were going to ask me, is J.J. Watt just prone to injury?
Well, that too.
And if he is, and he has been, obviously, historically, he struggled with injuries, and therefore the Texans have been prone. But there's only so much a player can do, right? You work out, you prepare, you build your muscle around your bones, you get yourself in physical shape.
And he does. He's a workhorse.
So that you're less vulnerable. And he's done everything right. He's done everything right on the field and off the field. So to see him face that setback is again. Really painful again mm-hmm. for the Texans.
No, it really is. And Whitney Merciless had a torn pec, you know, a season ago.
Yep.
So what is the deal with all that? It's kind of crazy.
These are men with pecs, no
These
doubt.
These are men with pecs, and you know what? It's a cost of doing business in the NFL.
I will say that in Houston, at least, it has thrust the spotlight back on the Bill O'Brien trade of Jadeveon Clowney. I think right anybody could rewrite history, Jadeveon Clowney would still be a Texan. I mean, they didn't get much in return for him. He now plays for the Seahawks. Look, he was never the phenom that he was supposed to be. He was the number one pick overall here in Houston. But he would be a good guy to have on a team now that is going to miss J.J. Watt.
Yes, it is. And that's another battle with Bill O'Brien and being stubborn. Bill O'Brien, head coach, offensive coordinator, play caller, general manager, you name it. He's got it going on. So hopefully he's got an answer for a depleted defensive line now.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to Drew Brees, welcoming him back to the league.
Oh, my goodness.
He looked pretty solid.
Welcome back.
I mean, he was good in the first half, 20 of 27. Better in the second half, 14 of 16. It looked like he just didn't miss a beat.
Well, you know, credit, there's so many people to credit in New Orleans organization, and I think – how interesting that we're juxtaposing this conversation with Bill O'Brien and how the Texans front office looks. You've got Sean Payton, the head coach, obviously. Credit GM Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland bringing in Teddy Bridgewater, who is probably the most expensive backup in the National Football League. They signed him for a 1 year, $7.25 million contract as an insurance policy, just in case the 40-year-old Breeze might miss some time. And look what that has done for them. And what has Bridgewater done? It's benefited him to learn from Drew Brees.
Yep.
And who apparently Drew Brees has been really great to him. And it is a lot. He kept the Saints not only afloat, they went 5-0 while Brees was out. This is an organizational gold standard for your depth chart, especially at your most important position.
Well,
and it has bode very well for them.
And I'll add to your point with the depth chart, the running back position.
Yes.
Kamara was out again with an ankle injury.
Would you have known that yesterday?
Well, because Latavius Murray came in and he was outstanding. Murray piled up, about 30 touches, 21 carries, and he caught another 9 passes. He just slid right in there and was a big-time player. And then you can't say enough about Michael Thomas and what he's doing at the receiver position.
I mean, he, to me, right now, do you have a receiver in the league that you think is better than Michael Thomas right now? I was thinking about this yesterday. I think he's number one in the NFL.
I am scratching my head to say otherwise. In fact, I think he should be on everyone's short list to be the MVP of the league. I mean, a wide receiver's never won the MVP league, right, in large part because, of course, it's a quarterback throwing to
that
receiver.
Right.
And so the quarterback gets it. But in this case, it's been split quarterbacks this year, Bridgewater and Breeze. So that really elevates Michael Thomas in the MVP consideration.
I mean, what a luxury New Orleans has. And you know what? They have been very intentional, and it's bode well. They look fantastic, and they are one of the top four in the NFL that we talked about earlier.
All right, we'll be right back. Boss and Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
Ducks they quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Jose playing America's greatest songs.
It does get us pumped up. It's kind of the anthem in here.
Well, once you start dancing, it turns everybody's head.
Oh, gosh, I can't not dance to that song. It's the best.
All right, this is our What Does the Boss Say segment. We're going to look at what others have said around the leagues, and we'll offer our own insights and analyses. Let's go to number one. It is the Broncos, and they suffered a heartbreaking loss to the Colts. Joe Flacco, their quarterback, he was upset with the decision-making by his head coach at the end of the game. Let's hear what Joe had to say.
I just look at it like we're now a 2-6 football team, and we're, like, afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill, you know? Like, who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with a minute and 40 seconds left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. Once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd and 5 at the end of a game. You know, it's who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. You know, so you're just putting your defense in these bad situations, and I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
I hate to say it, but I agree with Joe Flacco there. I think Vic Fangio may have made a mistake. I think they should have gone for it there. I think they were playing too conservatively. This is a team that's going nowhere. Take some chances.
I think two things. I think you're right. I've never heard Joe Flacco's voice for that long of time. Like, he never speaks. So he saved really, I mean, what he said was spot on. And you're right. This is on Vic Fangio, not necessarily yesterday, but it's on Fangio and Elway for bringing in Flacco. The reason they're not going for it is they don't trust in the Flacco experiment. I mean, what Joe Flacco said was right, but if he had the confidence of his coach and general manager, they would be calling things differently. And, you know, that's a sad statement, but I don't think they think he's good enough to execute the win. Mm. That's why it's not happening.
I heard Rex Ryan say today that, at the very least, what Joe Flacco did, what he said, wins him the locker room. The players 100%. Wanted that chance. They wanted to go for it. They wanted to finish the game then and there.
And it's on Fangio and Elway. Don't bring a guy in if you're not going to trust him to win the game for you at the most important position or one of the most pivotal. So you're right.
Flacco now injured, though. He's got a herniated disc in his neck. And Brandon Allen will fill in. He is a former quarterback from Arkansas. No one has heard of him. Drew Locke, the heir apparent, is coming off the IR, likely to be available in a week or two. I really think the Broncos would like to see something from Drew Locke. Is he the quarterback of the future? Probably not. But it would be nice to know. They used a second-round pick on him, because if he's not, the Broncos are back shopping for another quarterback this offseason.
I mean, look at this franchise for a minute here. Since Peyton Manning led them to a Super Bowl victory, they've gone through three coaches. And we're now, I think, with Brandon Allen, I think that's quarterback number 14. And just one general manager.
All right, let's go to number two. It is your beloved Raiders, Carla.
Yes.
They lost a close one. And really, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson was amazing. He made several incredible plays, one that I hope everybody saw in the highlights. After the game, John Gruden gave Watson the highest of compliments.
I don't know. I saw it. I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, you know, you see Michael Jordan, you see, you know, some of the great athletic plays in any sport. You got to tip your hat to the guy. I mean, we had him three times. And then he makes an unbelievable throw, and the kid makes a great catch. The quarterback couldn't catch him. The guy made a lot of plays, man. He made a lot of plays. You got to tip your hat to Watson. He was awesome today. Doggone Watson.
I mean, Watson was amazing. He has an ability to remain poised when all chaos is breaking down around him, when people are grabbing his feet, when grabbing his shoulders. He still is able to look downfield and consider what his next move should be.
And not to mention, when your left eye is swollen shut from a previous play, he couldn't see. He just knew where Darren Fell would be, threw a touchdown that ultimately won the game for them. You know, then there was a play as he gets hit in the helmet as he's ready to pass into the end zone. He gets out of while his ankle's being held, straightens out his helmet, and throws a touchdown pass. He's elusive. It's really amazing. And I respect John Gruden so much. The Raiders played a tough game. They were tough on the Texans. And, you know, his nice credit to Deshaun.
Without Watson's heroics, Raiders won that game.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. All right, number three, Bill Belichick. You may have heard of him. He won his 300th game as a head coach yesterday, and he credited every player he's coached along the way for helping him get there. Let's hear from the big one.
Now, it's a great privilege to coach this team and to coach the guys that I've coached throughout my career. Fortunately, I didn't play in any of those games. That's a good thing for us. But I've had a lot of good players, a lot of great players, and you know, they're the ones that win the games. And I've had a lot of great assistant coaches on my staff through the wins at Cleveland and certainly here. So, I was a part of those. But, you know, honestly, the players win games in this league. And you know, I've been fortunate. I've coached a lot of great ones.
It's funny. He says, well, players win the games in this league. And, yes, of course, they do. But then is he crediting his ability to pick players? But I would credit more his ability to coach players. I mean, I think he's being sort of deferential to the players. This is an amazing coach who's done amazing things. There's nobody like him. I mean, the great thing about the old era when Don Shula was coaching the Dolphins is that he had players who stayed with his franchise for 10 to 12 years. I mean, there wasn't the turnover there is now to replenish 20% of your roster every season, as we all do or see teams do in this new era of free agency, and to still win at a sustained level as he has for so long is truly amazing.
He is amazing, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. He is 67. I mean, when you think about that, it would take a couple years for him to pass George Halas and Don Shula, which would put him over 70. I wouldn't be surprised to still see him going.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to coach to about 71 years old to ensure that he breaks both their records. And I don't see why he won't. I mean, he doesn't.
He may not have Tom Brady, though, until then.
Well, he would likely have to do without Brady for a year or so. I mean, in fact, I sort of look forward to that discovery, what it would be like to have Belichick coaching without Brady and to see him bring along another guy. I mean, notably, you got Jacoby Brissett, whom he was grooming at one point. You got Jimmy G, whom he was grooming at one point.
And
those
they're
guys
leading their franchises right now.
Both playing well.
Good point.
Maybe they could have been the heir apparent to Tom Brady if Tom had retired at anybody's normal age.
You're right.
All right, let's go to the next one. Well, we're still at that game. It's the Patriots over the Browns. The Browns suffered yet another embarrassing loss. And Baker Mayfield admitted there just doesn't seem to be any kind of solution out there.
I wish I could put my finger on one thing, because then I'd do everything I could to get it fixed. I just think everybody has to be singular focused on doing your job, not worrying about what's going on the outside. Whatever our guys, you know, we have to be willing to sacrifice the ultimate price to, you know, to get to what we talked about preseason, our ultimate goals. We have to be able to sacrifice stuff each and every day, time, focus. It's going to be a long stretch, but our guys are capable of doing that. And so it's my job to make sure we do that each and every day. And like I said earlier, it starts tomorrow.
It's a long road back for the Browns. Now, the rest of their schedule is pretty easy. So if they would if they get rid of the turnovers and the penalties, maybe they can compete. They do have a defense. They've shown a running game, although a running game with Nick Chubb that has been turning the ball over.
Well, you know, you said the thing when Baker said, I wish I could put my finger on one thing. No, you need to put it on two things.
Two things.
Exactly what you mentioned, penalties and turnovers.
Right.
I mean, Mayfield leads the league with interceptions with 12.
Yep.
He and Jameis Winston, that's not the company you want to have at the top there.
Yep.
That's not good. And yesterday, they had three turnovers and three consecutive plays in the first quarter.
I mean, you just cannot
that's
do that against the New England Patriots, for goodness sake.
That's... And they were basically still in it. I mean, the score wasn't horrible, 27-13. You know what I thought at the end of that game yesterday? I was like, wait, does OBJ still play for them? I mean, where has he been?
Right.
So to me, a lot of this comes from coaching, from the top down. Sure. I mean, penalties is a discipline issue.
Yep. I can remember years ago when the Cowboys were committing too many penalties, Jimmy Johnson paid referees to come in during the practice and call penalties just like it was a regular game. And then anybody who committed a penalty in practice got some form of punishment. I don't know if they did a little fine where they passed the hat and collected money or they made them run laps. But there are ways to make the team focus on disciplined execution and reduce the number of penalties. And evidently, Freddie Kitchens and the Browns have not figured that out.
No, and I think rather than focusing on winning, they need to focus on not losing games because that's what they've been doing. And Baker has that yesterday was his eighth straight game with an interception. Not good.
All right, let's talk about the Astros. They've taken a 3-2 lead in the World Series, and A.J. Hinch credited his team's confidence for getting them back into the series.
The confidence comes from the success that we've had. We feel like we're in every game. We've had, you know, games where we've come from behind. We've had games where we've stretched a lead. We've had games like today where we just methodically just kept going with big swings, and we look up and we have a comfortable win. So, you know, I don't know. I think that the leadership in that room is impressive. I think the feel for the moment or the feel for the game is increased with every successful season. So our players are, you know, just really good about playing for today.
Well, they had that players-only team meeting after game two, after the second loss, and they were down on the hole. They had the big meet, and it seems they got it all right when they went to Washington. I don't know what happened to that meeting, but I think after the series is all done, we'll get a good inside perspective on what took place.
I hope so, regardless of how it came out. But I think what is admirable is that these guys are playing together as a team. So are the Nationals. But the Astros on the Astros roster, I don't see that anyone is ahead of themselves. Mm-hmm. They're taking each at-bat, each inning, each game, one at a time. And so far, it's working. Game six tomorrow night. Pivotal.
All right, Jose, we're going to shift to the NBA. The NBA season is tipped off, and the Warriors, of all people, have looked
do we have to bring
terrible.
This up?
Yep. And Draymond Green did not pull any punches when he talked about what is wrong with his team. Draymond Green, here he is.
The reality of it is we're just not capable of doing that right now. I would like to see us play harder. You know, that'll help a little bit, but the reality is we suck right now.
Ooh, he dropped the bomb.
He's right, though, and this is what's refreshing about Draymond Green. A lot of people get annoyed with his antics. He tells the truth. He pulls no punches, and it's pretty bad right now. It's really bad right now.
But you're optimistic they can get things together again.
Yes, I am. I mean, they've got – it's such a young roster. Steph Curry is the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells you something right there.
Yep.
And what the luxury is for other teams is that because there is no KD, there is no Klay, there is Kevon Looney is out, D'Angelo Russell is new, trying to learn the system, is teams say, all we have to do is double Steph. So people are saying, why isn't Steph producing? Well, he's not producing because he's double and triple teamed.
Yep.
Because they're not worried about anybody else. So they'll get it together, but it's going to be an ugly start, and that's all right.
Well, the one thing we do know about the NBA is it is a long, long
season. Oh, my goodness. Hard to make too many predictions, two or three games.
It is funny. I've heard people already trying to make big conclusions after week one of the NBA. We shall see. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. That's up next here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, my favorite part of the show, we get to take a look at what we've learned from my co-host here, the Gloss, Carla Dawson, over the last couple of hours. Let me begin with the Big 12 in college football. You say they just cannot play defense. Texas, Oklahoma, none of them.
No, TCU, they're either on, they're either off. But there is one unbeaten left in the Big 12, and that would be Baylor.
Look out for Baylor.
Woo!
Baylor does have to play both Oklahoma and Texas in back-to-back weeks coming up, so we will see who Baylor really is.
But Kansas State tested that OU defense, and it worked in their favor.
All right. Another thing I learned from you, Trent Williams, the standout left tackle of the Redskins who's not played yet this year, you think that he should be traded to the Browns and not to the Patriots.
I do. Cleveland needs them. The Patriots need nothing. Okay. I mean, I'm just going to go there. I'm not worried about them at all.
All right. I've learned, though the Patriots are on a record-setting pace defensively, their defense has been so outstanding, you note that those great stats are against very weak opponents.
And their conference, their division has weak opponents, but they're about to be tested. They're going to get some coming up with Baltimore, and yeah, they'll have some tests. We'll see.
Bill Belichick got win number 300. He's behind Halas and Shula. You think Belichick, when he retires, will have more wins than any other coach in NFL history?
I do. Standing by it.
John Gruden says that Deshaun Watson is like the Michael Jordan of football. You agree?
I appreciate that from the quarterback guru. Yes, I do.
All right, the big one. Astros or Nationals?
Oh,
we're down to the last two. Here it is.
I'm not jinxing anything.
I'm saying it's Astros in six. I think Verlander, with a chance to close it at home, clutch performer that he is, I think he will rise to the occasion. I have total respect for Strasburg, but I think Verlander is going to find a way to win it in six for the Astros. We don't have to face the hypothetical. Will Scherzer come back in game seven?
I hope that you're right. That would be amazing.
What is not amazing is this Monday night football game. Dolphins,
it's getting more competitive.
Dolphins leading 14-10 over the Steelers.
Start of the third, so still a half to go.
And what is amazing is the man coming up next. He is the gold standard.
He is amazing, and you are right.
Alex Gold will be up next on SB Nation Radio. Be sure to stay tuned for the gold standard. Next up on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.